The reading can be found on page 947 in the Church Bibles. Zephaniah chapter 3, 14 to the end. Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss of your appointed festivals, which is a burden and reproach for you. At that time I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. At that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Today's gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 18. Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 18. This can be found on page number 1029 of the Bible. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Shall we pray? Lord, open our hearts and minds to receive your word. Let your light shine in the darkest places, and may you reveal your good news to us. Amen. So, good news. Who doesn't like to hear good news? Good news can cheer us up. It can inspire us. It can make us feel good about ourselves. But it seems that whenever we see the news on the telly, hear it on the radio, or read it in the newspapers or online, all we hear is bad news, especially at the moment. Everything seems like darkness and despair. But actually, it's pretty much always been that way. Both of the readings we heard today are placed in very specific historical contexts. Chapter 1 of Zephaniah tells us it was written during the reign of Josiah, which was 640 to 609 BC. In fact, it was probably written early in his reign, before Josiah began to reform his kingdom in 621 BC. Luke tells us that chapter 3 of his gospel takes place in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, which was AD 26. Both were dark and dangerous times. But in each case, God spoke into the darkness through the words of prophets. Both Zephaniah and John spoke of the coming of the kingdom of God. In the darkest of times, they proclaimed the good news. Who doesn't like to hear good news? So let's look at what John had to say. You're all a bunch of snakes. That's what he says. Verse 7. I'm paraphrasing slightly, but that's basically what he's saying. You thought you were safe from judgment, but you're not. Judgment is coming, and it will be severe. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. That's how the passage we read finished. Is it just me, or did that not particularly sound like good news? I was hoping for something warm and cuddly, like God loves you no matter what, so everything's fine and you don't need to worry. That's my idea of good news. John's words sound terrifying. And I'm not the only one that thinks that. The crowd were clearly a little bit worried too. What should we do then? They asked. Fortunately, John was ready with some very practical and specific tips. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share one with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same. I don't know about you, but if I was in the crowd that day, I'd have had another question on the back of that, although I'm not sure I would have had the courage to ask. Excuse me, Mr. the Baptist. That's his name, right? Mr. the Baptist, just to clarify, I actually have more than two shirts. Is the principle here that if I have more clothes than I really need, I should give some away? Or does it have to be half? Or are you actually saying that I should just keep one shirt and give the rest away? I don't know what the answer to that question would be, by the way, but I have a feeling I wouldn't like it. What I do know is that I have more than I need. And I also know that there are people in the world who have nothing and who could really benefit from things that I have that I wouldn't even miss if I didn't have them. And right at this moment, I don't feel particularly great about that. This was supposed to be good news. How come I'm stood here feeling bad about myself? What is this good news that Luke was referring to? Actually, as a church, we're probably quite familiar with the term good news. You often hear about people preaching the good news or preaching the gospel, which means good news. It's what we're all about. So we all know what the good news is, right? It's funny, isn't it? The good news is such a familiar concept in church. And yet, if someone asked me, what is this good news you Christians are always going on about? I'm not sure how easy I'd find it to give a succinct answer. I guess most people who are confident about preaching the gospel, or the good news, would talk about Jesus dying on the cross to save us from our sins and being raised to life again. Is that what we mean by good news, then? Because if so, this passage from Luke presents us with something of a puzzle. Because Luke tells us that John proclaimed the good news before Jesus was crucified. Before Jesus had even begun his ministry. And elsewhere in the Bible, it tells us that Jesus began preaching the good news at the start of his ministry. Surely John and Jesus couldn't have been teaching about events that hadn't happened yet. So what is this good news that John was sharing? Matthew's gospel actually gives us the simplest answer. Matthew summarizes the teaching of both John the Baptist and Jesus with a single phrase attributed to both of them. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. I said earlier that when we look at the news, when we see what's going on in the world around us, and perhaps even in our own lives, these can seem like dark and desperate times. And I also said that Zephaniah and Luke were writing in or about what seemed like dark and desperate times. What do we pray for in those times? For an end to pain and suffering? For an end to fear and hatred? A perfect world in which there is no sin. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And John proclaimed that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Good news. Good news indeed. Isn't that what we've prayed for? A perfect world. This is God's promise. This is John's message. But it comes with a warning attached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent. In modern usage, to repent can often mean little more than to say you're sorry. Literally, it is to think again. But the biblical word carries a strong sense of turning around, of turning away from our sins and taking a different path. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. God will cleanse the world from sin. Who doesn't want that? A world free from sin, from pain, from fear, from suffering. Good news, right? The best news, in fact. But think for a moment. What will that mean for you? If God is going to wipe away sin, if anger and hatred and greed are going to be blown away and burnt in the fire, what will that mean for you? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. To repent, you first have to realise that you're on the wrong path. That's never easy. If John's words didn't feel like good news, that's hardly surprising. It's a bit like receiving a diagnosis from a doctor that you have an illness, or admitting for the first time that you're suffering from an addiction. It doesn't feel much like good news, does it? But it is, because it's the first step back in the right direction. Being diagnosed with an illness means that it can be treated. Admitting that you have an addiction means that you can get help to beat it. And similarly, those who came to see John had already taken the first step in the right direction. They had acknowledged that they needed to repent and be baptized. And John has advice to help get them back on the right path. He tells the tax collectors not to collect more money than they're required to. And he tells the soldiers not to extort money or make false accusations. John has practical advice for everyone to help them to stop thinking only of themselves and to start thinking of others. And that's why John's message is good news, because the choice is ours. The kingdom of heaven has come near, and we can be a part of it if we turn away from sin and follow God. Now, many Jews believe that their salvation was assured because they were God's people, descendants of Abraham. Similarly, it's easy for us to believe that our salvation is assured because we've been baptized or had a Christian upbringing. But John declares firmly that this is not the case. Again, this may not seem like good news to some, but it is. Our salvation is not predetermined by our ancestry or by some accident of birth. Salvation is open to all who follow God. The kingdom of heaven has come near, and we can be a part of it. When we look at the world around us, it's easy to fall into despair because there seems to be so much wrong in the world. And it's easy to blame others for all that is wrong. But the teachings of Jesus are full of reminders that we should look to ourselves and not be concerned by what others do. God is the judge. We cannot change others. We can only change ourselves. John spoke of the one who would come after him, who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Allow the Holy Spirit into your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, leaving only the wheat. Let your lives produce fruit in keeping with repentance. The kingdom of heaven has come near. That's good news. That's good news indeed. Amen.